Ecclesiastes 3 and Psalms 142. Let me say today, again, I want you to talk to me just a little bit, but this is not going to be one of those big shouting type of messages this morning, although it will deal with a seasonal situation that we face. I just know that this is what I'm supposed to talk to you about this morning and teach you a little bit out of the Word of God. So every once in a while, say amen, but if it gets a little quiet, it's because of the nature of the message this morning. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And also picking up Psalms 142. And notice Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And notice, if you would, verse number 1. Verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Let's stop for a moment and look. It says to everything there's a season, meaning a period of time. There's a season and there's a time. Now, what that time is talking about there is like such a time as this. Oh, that was good timing. Or the timing was right for that. The idea is there's a time for a season of feeling a certain way. Notice where he says to everything there's a season, a period of time, and a time for that season to come about, to every purpose under the heaven. Let me say it again. It might be the right time for a certain season of feelings, a certain period of time of some feelings, and maybe there's a purpose to it. And then he goes on to say, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Notice verse 4, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Now, brother, there may be many thoughts of that, but here's the point. There is a season, a period of time at the right time, and there's a purpose God has for every one of these type of emotions and thoughts to come about. Look, if you would, at verse 4 again, a time to weep and a time to mourn, it says. Brother, now, may I say that over the holiday season, over the next couple of weeks, not everybody will be laughing. Not everybody is going to walk around with just a great countenance on their face. In fact, this time of year is probably, in our country, the time where the most depression happens. It's the time when the most sorrow and sadness happens, although sometimes the greatest joy also. And may I say, if you're going through a season right now, a period of time right now, at this time, maybe there's a purpose that God has for that season, that period of time, where you're going through a little sadness, you're going through, if you would, some weeping, you're going through some mourning, and you say, it's Christmas time, it's the holiday time, I shouldn't be feeling like that. But brother, may I say to you, things change in a year, don't they? Things change in a year. And sometime, if you would, some are facing this holiday season, and it's not going to be quite the same as it's been. It's going to be different. Maybe the family has, if you would, grown up a little bit and broken apart a little bit, and some have gone here and some have gone there, or maybe a relationship that you had earlier this year you don't have anymore. Somebody used to be with us isn't here anymore in some way, shape, or form. You know, deaths do occur each year. And for some, it's their first Christmas facing a Christmas where someone isn't there anymore. And there's a little sadness. And the countenance is sad. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You're holding your place, if you would, in Psalms 142. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Notice, if you would, what the creator of mankind says to us. And by the way, he knows humans, doesn't he? He knows us better than we know ourselves. He explains us to us. He knows what we're feeling. He knows how we're feeling. He set us up. We didn't evolve. We were created. And he set us the way he wanted us to be set. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And remember, different people have different personalities and respond different ways. Look at verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning, grieving, than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. The living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. You ought to hang on to that one. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Doesn't matter what anybody says who has all these degrees about studying humans. This Bible is true, and the creator of the universe and the creator of mankind says once in a while, mourning and sorrow and grief is good for us. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. The idea is there's going to be some grief once in a while, and look up here, there's going to be a season of time where God determines that mourning, grieving, sadness is what's needed. Somebody says, you know, how could a God, you know, allow this to happen? Because he knows that there are things that come in our life, and there's a season of the timing that it happens, and it's for a purpose, and it's for a reason, and typically it's to make us better. Look at Psalms 142. You're doing well. Stay right with me. Psalms 142. To some, Psalms 142, to some, every year at this time, they go through a process, if you would, where it brings up remembrances and things that have happened in the past, and they have to kind of get through that again. Psalms 142, if you would. To some, just the anxiety, if you would, of the situation, the pressures coming to the end of the year, and maybe it's just been a difficult year. Stay with me. Look at Psalms 142. I cried unto the Lord, he says. This is David speaking with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble when my spirit was, would you say the next word, say it? Overwhelmed. Say it again. Overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with what I had going on inside of me. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. And then he says this, that overwhelmed feeling. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And tend unto my cry, for I am brought, say it, very low. I'm overwhelmed. I'm very low right now. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, captivity, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He says, you know, I'm in prison. I've got this captivity going on. I'm very low. I'm overwhelmed. And it seems like nobody cares. Verse 4. No one would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And may I say, there's going to be periods of time when we feel like, who can understand what I'm going through? Where is somebody for me? There will be people right now, over this next couple of weeks, if you would, that are going to be in this very low period of time, regardless of the situation, and they're going to feel like no one's there for them. They're going to feel like they're in a prison, if you would. And you say, man, I come in on Sunday morning, and I expected to hear, you know, it's Christmas. Hey, brethren, this is reality. We're talking reality here. We're not talking television. I understand, you know, all these warm and all these things going on, but brethren, the reality of it is there's more depression going on. There will be more people in this world go out during this period of time in the United States and try to mask their depression and run from it and hide from it in alcohol and illicit drugs, and may I say, that's not the answer. There's no answer to that. It'll only make it worse. When we as Christians go through a season, a period of time, and the timing that God chooses for that, there's a purpose for that. Maybe it's not just for ourselves. Maybe it's to help someone around us. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, stay right with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. And would you also, with 1 Peter chapter 1, pick up Luke 4. And let me show you that when the Lord was on this earth, he allowed himself, if you would, to go through some stuff. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now watch, stay with me. And Luke chapter 4. This is not depressing. You got to hear the end of the message. 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice, if you would, Luke chapter 4. Watch, 1 Peter 1. He says this very, very clearly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, a period of time, if need be,
ye are in heaviness. That heaviness through manifold temptations, trials that are going on. Heaviness, that overwhelmed feeling, that feeling of, if you would, anxiety maybe, the feeling of being brought very low. Heaviness, like being in a prison. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the period of Jesus Christ. Now look, if you would, at verse 6 again. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold, what? Say it. Temptations. Brethren, when the Lord put on human flesh, and by the way, he's not a babe in the manger anymore. But he did decide, and it was his decision, to put on human flesh and be born, if you would, of a woman. Now, we understand his birth was different than ours because he was born of a virgin. Is that right? That's a miracle in itself. Let's not forget that the Heavenly Father, through the Holy Ghost of God, gave birth to his only begotten Son through Mary. There he is, if you would, in human flesh. But he came, if you would, as God in the flesh. But he also came to suffer the things that we suffer. And all those temptations, we know he was without sin. But brethren, he was tempted. Look, if you would, stay with me now. Look at Luke chapter 4. Stay right with me. Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4. We're leading to something. Luke chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Thanks for turning with me. Aren't you glad we got a book we can trust? Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4. Now watch very, very carefully this and put some thoughts together here. Luke chapter 4. Notice, if you would, verse 1. And Jesus. That's a good name, amen? Jesus. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he had the Spirit without measure, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. The Spirit was leading him into this trial. Let me say that again. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, knew exactly what was going on. Jesus knew what was going on. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, led him into the wilderness, verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. What are you saying? Very clearly, the Holy Ghost of God led Jesus into a trial. Brethren, the things that befall us are not happen chance. Why can't we assume, if you would, that the Holy Spirit of God sometimes can lead us into situations to try our faith a little bit? To make our countenance better through some sadness, if you would, through some breaking, through some mourning. Because notice, he's tempted of the devil. But notice when it's all over, verse 13, Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. You ought to underline the next three words. For a season. What does that mean? He's coming back again, amen? Now, wait a minute. Who's coming back? The devil's not done yet. He says, hey, we're going to tempt you this time, but I'm not done trying you yet. I'm not done tempting you yet. I'm not done trying to make you fall yet. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, not permanently, for a season. And isn't it true, once in a while, we look at things going on in our life and think, man, there's got to be something going on behind the scenes. This can't just be coincidentally happening. And may I say, as a Christian, we face some things sometimes where it's orchestrated and there's things going on in our life and God knows exactly what's happening. And may I say to you, God will not leave us alone. Through our temptations, through our trials, through the trying our faith, through those seasons of grief and mourning, if you would, and sadness and sorrow, he won't leave us alone. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Still leading towards something. Stay with me. Matthew chapter 4. Watch the same thing. Matthew chapter 4. You say, who was there for Jesus? He's in the wilderness. He's not yet chosen, if you would, his apostles. And he's being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Who's there for them? Look at Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Notice verse 11. You're doing well. Verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. By the way, remember Luke for a season. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Well, who sent the angels? May I say the Father did. Why? Because Jesus was God in the flesh, but he was down here, and the illustration was, you say, well, nobody was there for him, but the Father did not let him go through it alone. At the right time, God sent the angels down, and these angels ministered unto him. And by the way, Jesus, if you would, was not scared by the angels. He was not, if you would, uncomfortable with the angels. He knew exactly who the angels were. And they came down and ministered to the Son of Man while he was going through his trial. The concept is the Father did not leave him alone. Let me make a statement. One of the worst things that can happen to a person going through a season, a period of time of trials, heaviness, oppression, depression, sentimentality, sadness, grieving, mourning, is to, worst thing they can do is shut people out. Let me say it again. Worst thing they can do is shut people out and decide they don't need any help. You know what that boils down to a lot of times? Pride. I don't need any help. I don't want any help. I'll handle it myself. Or I don't want anybody to know what I'm going through. I'm afraid of what they'll think of me. And the fear of man is a snare. I'm afraid of what they'll think of me. I'm afraid it'll ruin my image. I'm afraid they'll think less of me. I'm afraid that I was held in high reputation and now they're going to know that I myself am a human. That I myself have times where I'm struggling with some things and down a little bit and I don't want them to think I'm weak. Brother, may I say something to you? We already know everybody in this room has periods and times and seasons of weakness. And if you haven't yet, your time's coming. And we're not going to judge you when it comes. And by the way, if you are judging somebody else, your time's coming. The concept then is this. He's not going to leave us alone, because the worst thing, if you would, is to feel like you're all alone when you're going through something and nobody's there for you. His other time of temptation. Watch it with me now. Look at Matthew 26. Are we all right still? Matthew 26, stay right with me. And also, would you pick up Luke chapter 22? Stay right with me. Matthew 26 and Luke chapter 22. Turn to the scriptures. Matthew 26, Luke 22. In Matthew chapter 26 and Luke chapter 22, notice Matthew 26 and look, if you would, he's in the garden. Now watch verse 36. Matthew 26, 36, holding Luke 22. You're doing well. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, watch, and began to be sorrowful, and very, what? Heavy. Heaviness, he said, if need be. Heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, heaviness, sorrowful, mourning, grieving. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He goes on and he falls on his face and he prays, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup. He's going to talk about a cup he's supposed to drink. He's sorrowful about it. He's heavy about it. He's, if you would, in grief about it. There's a great deal of, I'll use this word, pressure on him. Look at Luke 22. Stay with me. Luke 22. Watch how it describes what happens in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, towards the end of the chapter, verse 41, he withdraweth from them from about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And notice who shows up. The apostles are asleep. And here he is in another time of exceeding sorrow. We're going to read in a minute. He's in agony. He's heavy with this whole thing. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. And what does that angel do? Strengthens him. And isn't that what friends are supposed to do with friends? The point of it is, here he is going through a strong, strong spiritual battle, which chances are we can't comprehend what this is all about, even though we teach about it and we preach about it, we explain it. The heaviness of this thing is incomprehensible for us as humans. But the Father did not let him go through this alone in his time of need, in his time of heaviness, in his time of grief and mourning, in his time of sorrow. God sent an angel down to strengthen him and help him get through it. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. The sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. But I got to say this to you, if you read carefully, they didn't always fall asleep, because look what he says in Luke 22. Look, if you would, at what he says in verse 28. You're doing well. Verse 28. Watch what he says to his apostles. Verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my, what? Temptation. You mean Jesus was tempted? Absolutely. You mean Jesus went through trials? Absolutely. He was tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin. Is that right? And the idea, he says to his apostles, ye are they, you've been with me. You continued on with me in my temptations, in my trials. You've been there. You've watched me. It's that time of year. And it's the time of year where someone's going to miss somebody else. It's the time of year where somebody's going to reflect about something happened years ago. It's a time of year for some sentimentality. It's a time of year for, if you would, sometimes a look back at the previous year and recalling some memories. There's people in this room today who, this year, somebody they were very, very close to passed on out of this world into eternity. And may I say to you that's in here, none of us in here can replace what that person was to you. It's impossible. Nor would we even try to replace who that person and what that person was to you. Some will remember people who've been influential in their lives. Maybe a relative, or maybe someone that helped raise you, and you'll remember them. And I'm not trying to bring you down, but the point of it is, we can't replace that person. But don't shut us out. Don't shut everybody out. Don't shut everybody out and go sit in that apartment or in that house somewhere and reflect. Be sad. Let your heart grow better. But don't shut everybody out. Don't put the answering machine on and never answer the calls. And don't think we won't spend some time with you if we know you need a little help. Well, nobody called me. Well, may I say something to you? Pick up the phone. Let somebody know you're hurting. You know what, may I say to you? It's hard for us to know sometimes who needs what. And I understand, brother, listen, I understand the concept of depression, and I understand oppression, and I understand sadness, and I understand all that. Because when you're in that, you don't want to bother anybody else. And that's how you feel. If you've ever been into a depression or going through something that you feel overwhelmed or you can't quite figure out, what you don't want to do is, you don't feel like I can call anybody, or you don't want to bother anybody, or you don't want someone to know, or we don't want this or don't want that. Brethren, isn't a friend, isn't a brother born for adversity? Well, I didn't want to bother you. I knew you had your own things going on, and I know you're busy. Oh, if there's anything, please don't say to me. Please don't say to me, I know you're busy. Everybody's busy. That's almost like saying to me, and if I have a little pet peeve, it's when somebody says, I know you were busy. Everybody's busy. But we're not too busy. Is that right? I know you're busy. It's like putting it on someone else, like, I know you were busy, that's why I didn't call you. But wait a minute. We're friends. We'll take the time. If I'm busy right now, I'll say, hey, I'm busy right now, but I'll be there when I can get there. Let's set it up. But there's a period of time where we look in our minds, look up here, and we think, They're busy, don't want to bother him. He's got more important things to do. She's got more important things to do. They got more important things to do. You know what? It's time to send up the Red Star cluster and say, I need some help. Time to wave the flag to somebody and say, hey, isn't there anybody that cares for my soul? I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm in it. I'm in the pit right now. Don't know what to do. And by the way, sometimes for that season, we can't help you out of the pit, but we can come and sit with you for a while. We all right with this morning? Hey, two are better than one. Who said that? The Bible says that. Let me read it to you. Ecclesiastes, don't turn there. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Woe. For he hath not another to help him up. Brethren, statement. Even when Jesus was in the wilderness going through the temptation, the Father did not leave him alone. He sent angels, plural, to minister to him. Even when he was in the garden and all those other guys, the three, fell asleep, he did not leave him alone. He sent an angel to minister to him, to strengthen him. Well, you say, well, then I'll just expect Christmas Eve an angel to show up. But that's what he sent us for. That's why he creates friendship. That's why he creates family. That's why he creates church. The church is called a family. The family of God, the household of God. The church is called a family. Is that right? That's why he created an organization, if you would, in so many ways. Outreach, yes. Missionary, yes. But also in reach and caring for one another. I'll get through it. I don't want anybody to know. And brethren, we all do that, but there comes a point in time where someone has to say, I could use a little help. That takes some humility. That takes a broken heart. Well, what do people think? As soon as we die to that, that would be a blessing. The sooner we divorce ourselves from what people think. I'm talking about, you know, well, what do they think about me here? What do they think about me there? What do they think about me there? Brethren, when you can be yourself at the lowest point you are, that's true friendship. When you can work with somebody and be with somebody, have coffee, and you sit there just weeping and crying or whatever, and they go, it'll be okay. Isn't that what friendship's all about? The bartender is not your friend, Christian. The person that would serve strong drink because it's their job, that's not the kind of friends you want to go to. The person who has some illicit drugs, that's not one you want to escape to. It doesn't make it any better. It makes it worse. It's not time to go hide in a bottle or hide in some drug den. Hey, this is the time where we reach out and say, I'm going to trust you. You say, but I've trusted somebody before, and I got burned. Every one of us has got burned. Every one of us has been burned before. Every one of us has felt, who cares for my soul? Every one of us has been overwhelmed before. Every one of us has been told we'd be talked to, and somebody would be there for us, and this and that, and somebody didn't show up. Every one of us. But that doesn't mean we should lose faith in Christianity. We've all let each other down. We've all done a little bit of that. We've all should have been there. We all should have perceived. We all should have made that phone call. And we didn't. Are we still okay? We all still have. But don't live under that. Don't decide you're going to live like just be an island to myself. Because maybe what you're going through is to teach you to help someone else. And maybe what you're experiencing right now is setting you up so you can be a friend to someone when they need it. And maybe what you're going through now is something that you're going to get comforted by the comforter. And then you're going to be able to go out and help somebody else. Maybe God's doing that. Maybe you know right now somebody and they're not in this church building. Maybe they're across the state or across this country. Maybe they're a relative. Maybe they're a friend. Maybe they're across this city and you're thinking about them right now and saying, you know what? I'll give them the cross. Now, you know what you might get? An answering machine. But even your voice on that answering machine, even if they don't call you, make the attempt. The Holy Spirit can use that kind of stuff. I remember a day John Mark left the mission field, Book of Acts. If you would, he went away from them, and Barnabas says, I'm going to go get him. I'm going after him. And there was a big dispute between Paul and Barnabas, and Barnabas left and went after his nephew, John Mark. Uncle Barnabas. Barnabas was always looking for people who needed help. If there's anything we need this season, at this time, in the next 2 weeks, is for a few of us to be Barnabases and go after, like he went after Saul, like he went after John Mark. And be a Barnabas and go after somebody to say, hey, just want you to know somebody does care. I may not be able to do anything for you. I may not have the resources. I may not have the great mentality and mindset, if you would, the intelligence on how to help you. But at least I can show up, or at least I can call you and say, I care about you. Hey, let me tell you maybe what the greatest gift is we could give someone this year. Listen to me. Let me tell you what the greatest gift we could give somebody this year. Our time. Maybe the greatest gift we could give somebody this year is our time. Let me say it again. Maybe the greatest gift we could give to somebody this year is our time. Because sometimes you spend time with somebody and all you do is listen. But that's all they need. You say, what'd you have to give up? Time. Precious time. A time when we want to do something for ourselves and decide, no, I'm going to put that off and try to give my time for someone else. There are people who are sitting in here today, now as adults, and it can't maybe be made up, that would have wished their father would have spent a little more time with them. Let me say again. There's people in here today now as adults that wish their father, even though maybe they got a lot of presents, a lot of things over Christmas, just wish that their father would have spent more time with them. I'm not trying to bring anybody down. Maybe if you're a dad, it's time to slow down. Maybe if you're a dad in here, I don't care if your children are old and grown. Maybe it's time to slow down, spend a little time with those children. It's all right. They always scream when they see me for the first time, you know? It's all right. What would you do if you heard over the speaker somebody yelling? So maybe all they want is a little time with you. Oh, they don't want to spend any time with me. I don't know about that. Well, they don't act like it. Well, what matters how they act? Maybe they're going through a season. Maybe they're going through a period of time. Wouldn't hurt to try. Well, I'm so busy. I got so many things going. You know what? I include myself, we need to watch for little signs. And hey, let's go do something, or kind of just lingering. Maybe it's time to slow down a minute and give some time to someone you love. Hey, husbands, might be good to give some time to your wife alone. I said, where's all the amens? You know what? Quietness is very effective. A pause is very effective. It gives time for the wife to elbow her husband. Either that, or tonight, under your pillow, there will be a tape recorder. And it will be playing this little segment of the message, like, over and over and over again. Time with your wife, time with your wife, time with your wife. Alone, 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 alone. I don't know who it is that the Lord might prompt you to spend a little time with. And by the way, please, I'm not scolding anybody today. I hope you don't feel that way. And I'm not saying that I have this all right, because we all need to work on it. We all need to watch it. We all need to realize that we go through seasons. Somebody else goes through seasons, a period of time. But there's a purpose that it came at that time in their life. And there's a reason. And there's a plan. And there's something that's going to teach us something about ourselves, about somebody around us, and that Jesus went through these periods of time also. I want to show you two more scriptures, and then we're going to be finished, because I don't want to take up too much of your time today. Look at Hebrews chapter number 2, and we'll finish. I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit of God will take a little farther when you leave. Hebrews 2. Everybody there? Man, I come in for a Christmas message. I come in to hear about... No, we got the right message this morning. I know it for... I mean, it may not be the perfect delivery, and it may not be all the perfect thoughts surrounding it, but if you'll read the scriptures and let Him tutor you on this, and just open yourselves up to the Holy Spirit, it's the right scriptural content this morning. And I don't say that in the wrong spirit. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Watch verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor or succour them that are tempted. You read verse 17 and 18, it says, He knows what it's like to be us. Let me say it again. He knows what it's like to be us in the flesh. It behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. He knows what it's like to be us. He knows what we're going through. And He's able to succor, run to us in our time of need. Another verse that goes along with that, stay with me, look at Hebrews 4. Turn the page or look across. And look what He says in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. He's still touchable. He still feels what we feel. He still understands. Which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Brethren, He's in touch with our feelings. That's what it says there. Look at 4:15. He is in touch with our feelings. He knows what we're feeling. He knows what we're going through. He knows the feelings are of our infirmities. He knows when we're feeling overwhelmed. He knows when we're feeling in heaviness. He knows when we're feeling, if you would, out of joint in some way, shape, or form. He knows when our countenance is sad. He knows when we're going through a mourning period of time. He knows the season we're going through, and He can still be touched with our feelings, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Those last four words, in time of need. When we have a season of need, when we have a period of time that we're going through something, and it's been a long season or a short season of whatever it is, but it just seems like the timing is right now, in those times, he says, come to me. I know what it's like. I'll run to you. I'll help you in your time of need. Somebody says, what do you mean? Is he going to show up down here? Is he going to send angels? You know what he does a lot of times? He sends his children to his children. He sends ambassadors, someone that represents him. An ambassador in Christ, if you would, because he gets touched and he knows what's going on. He knows what we're feeling. He knows what's happening in our lives, and he knows the season we're going through, and he'll go and he'll put a burden on someone's heart about that person and says, I've got someone down there that's in need right now, and they've asked me to help them, and I'm sending you to help them. And you go over and represent me and be there for them. And that doesn't mean you're God. That doesn't mean I'm God. Sometimes it's just, I'm just going to sit with you in physical presence and just be here with you. I don't know what I can do, but just my being here, I hope helps. It's just good to know someone cares. Not time to shut everybody out and feel all alone. It's dangerous to do that. I know whereof I speak. It's dangerous to shut everybody else out. Even those that call to say, how you doing? Pride shuts people out. Humility lets them in. Pride is concerned about what people think and what they're going to say. We've all said things we shouldn't have said before. We've all passed along to somebody in a prayer request that we should have kept our mouth shut. It's not time to shut people out. But if I trust them, what are they going to do? How are they going to handle it? I don't know. But at least they're there to try. I mean, isn't that what family is all about? Isn't that what church is all about? Somebody says, well, I want to see an angel. Well, that angel might have showed up in human clothing and has a name, and you know who they are. Might be somebody you've known a long time. You say, well, that's not an angel, that's just so-and-so. I know, but if they're sent by God. But they, who are they? They're just a human. How can they help me? Doesn't matter. Supernaturally, the Holy Spirit showed them and told them to show up for you. And by the way, maybe they're just an ambassador there to be with you for a period of time. Maybe they can't do everything about what you need or anything like that, but at least you know God cares. Better than going to see the bartender. Most bartenders aren't going to mention the book. And I'll guarantee you the people at the bar aren't going to be much help. I mean, everybody's sitting there trying to mask everything and trying to run from everything and trying to get into an altered state of mind. Drunkenness, nowhere in the Bible does it say drunkenness makes the heart better. Makes it worse. Sadness, sorrow makes the heart better. Why mask it? Why run from it? It softens the heart. It makes us more usable. It makes us more compassionate. It makes us more caring. It breaks us down a little bit. To every season, there's a time and a purpose. To everything that we go through, there's a time for it. And there's a purpose for it. And maybe today, the purpose for the season that you're going through is to bring you to Christ for the first time, genuinely. Maybe what you're going through, you say, well, man, nobody's been there for me, but here you are in church, and you're going through a season, and there's a purpose for it. And maybe it's to bring you to a loving knowledge of who Jesus really is. And maybe the purpose is your salvation, your eternal destiny. Where are you going to end up for all eternity? And God's not willing that you should perish. God's not wanting to cast you away from him and from his presence for eternity. And so he's allowed a season of sadness and sorrow and mourning and grieving, but he's actually drawing you to himself. That'll be up to you by faith whether or not you accept and receive what he has for you in the way of a gift. Look up here. We've all sinned and broken God's rules. We've all transgressed his law. Everyone in this room has transgressed the law of God. In fact, everybody who's ever lived on the face of this earth, except for Jesus Christ, broke the rules. What it takes is to come to him by faith and humbly admit the breaking of those rules and receive the forgiveness rather than receiving the penalty for breaking those rules. The penalty's already been paid. All you have to do is receive. Who paid the penalty for you? His name is Jesus Christ, and it could change your entire Christmas. But not just this Christmas. Every Christmas left that you have on this earth, and then for eternity, it can change everything. Everything could change today. You talk about a gift. The gift of salvation is the greatest gift. You know what Jesus Christ gave to us? His time. 33 and a half years. He gave us. Maybe the best gift we could give to somebody else is a little bit of our time. If I have failed you this year as a pastor, I'm sorry. I apologize. I mean that. Those are just not words. The only thing I can hide behind is that I'm human. But that doesn't really do anything for what you went through when I missed it. But I'll guarantee you, the Lord didn't miss it. He didn't miss it. He didn't miss it at all. Well, preacher, you should have been there. Maybe I was going through a season. Maybe I was going through something that I was going through. And I know that's no excuse. But everybody has those seasons. And sometimes when we get in those seasons, all we can see, look up here, is right here. And we can't see much past right there. Try to do better in the future. But I'll guarantee you, you had someone and still have someone in heaven that can be touched with the feelings that you have. Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to go in the next 2 weeks knowing we're Christians? Isn't it good to know? And he understands. Today, you could become part of the family of God. Today, we should decide, maybe someone that needs a little bit of our time, 5 minutes on the phone, a knock on the door, a little something left, a little note sent, whatever it is, maybe just a gift of our time would go a long way. With your heads bowed. You're with a friend this morning. Want to have some prayer with him? Doesn't matter if the friend needs salvation or the friend just needs a friend. It'd be a good time to have a little prayer time with your friend. Missing somebody today, feeling all alone, even though there's people all around you. Please, don't think no one cares. Someone does care. Maybe we just don't know what you're going through. And I know the privacy. Who can I trust? Or maybe today, you've been going through a season of time. At this time for a purpose. And maybe today is the day that he's appointed for you to receive Christ as Savior. Don't pass him by. He'll stand at the door and knock on your heart's door. And I understand the scripture on that, but he wants to sup with you. He wants to fellowship with you.
He wants to walk with you, and he wants you to walk with him. He wants you to abide. You say, but you don't know who I am, and you don't know what I've done. He's forgiven worse than you. I'll say that again. He's forgiven worse than you, no matter what you've done. His forgiveness and his mercy are so much greater than the human mind can understand. And it's available to you today. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, I'd like you to include me in on a prayer. I'm not sure if I've received the gift of salvation. I don't know if I know him as my personal Savior. But your heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you in here, trust me for a minute. Be genuine. Be honest. If that's you in here, would you lift your hand right now and say, pray for me? I'm not sure. Pray for me. Good. Someone else. Pray for me. I'm not sure. Father, those who raised their hand, maybe someone who didn't. Lord, we don't want to just go through the motions. We mean this, Lord, with all our hearts. Please draw them to yourself. May they right where they're at break and ask you to forgive them. May they ask you, maybe not understanding everything, but just by faith, reach out and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus in forgiveness of their sins. Right now, please, Lord. If you raised your hand for salvation, you could pray right where you're asked and ask forgiveness. Or if you'd like some help scripturally, we have a Bible. We have a man, if you're a man, a woman, if you're a woman, that will take you privately. And not impose to find out all about your private life, but just to show you some scriptures and lead you along. We have a little thing called an invitation. You can come and we'll show you how to be saved. Or if you need somebody to pray with you, we'll help you there too. Maybe it'd be a good morning just to spend a little time in prayer. Now let's quietly, if we could, stand to our feet without leave. Everybody stand, if you would, unless you want to continue praying right where you're at. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, they had altars. An altar was a place where they talked to God. Sometimes it was earth or rocks, or sometimes just all kinds of different things was used as altars. And in our services today, we invite you to the front to pray with someone, or if you'd like to, with someone in your pew. If you raise your hand, you need some help. Don't be embarrassed because you say, excuse me, I want to talk to somebody about my soul. We would rejoice with your heads bowed now and your eyes closed. If your need is to use an altar to thank or praise or be with someone this morning and you want to pray with them, or if your need is salvation today and you'd like somebody to show scriptures to you, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, the instruments play, you come right now. Come if you'd like. For yourself, for someone you know. You want to just think about someone today across this country and up the coast away.